What's up, what's up, what's up? It's your boy Native, and welcome to GVO Radio's I Call Bull Show. Man, I'm at a loss for words, bro. By now, everybody has already heard about this whole Nipsey Hussle shooting and all this. But this whole situation has me wondering about a lot of things. It's like, okay, first of all, he was on a major movement. I was listening to something and it said that there had been no gang violence in L.A. for a while now. Yeah, a little small stuff, but nothing major. No major gang violence. And that was incredible. Not saying that he was a part of that, but I also seen somewhere else and read another article where he had an interview or was getting involved with the law enforcement there in L.A., on gang violence and helping with that and helping these law enforcement officers get involved and basically, honestly, bringing the hood and law enforcement together. As hard as that may seem, this is what type of movement my man was on. He was trying to bring the hood and law enforcement. God, dog, bruh. I can't even sit in my dorm. That's what happens when you live in the city, man. Some damn race, especially this time of night. Anywho, oh my God, let me stop. But yeah, that's what type of movement he was on. And to think about where gangster rap and what LA started back in the day with NWA, I mean, in their whole movement. It has made a complete one. It's turned around completely. I mean, yeah, Pac made some moves, but yet in a sense he was still a little gangster. Like he was very intelligent. Very intelligent. And that's why sometimes I even say, hey, Pac. The whole Machiavelli, if you know if you've ever read Machiavelli, the actual Machiavelli, not Tupac's album, Machiavelli was somebody that faked his own death. The whole story is about somebody, how he planned to fake his own death and got away with it. So, you know, Tupac, Machiavelli, put, not just saying that, there's been numerous other things that Suge Knight's mentioned it. I'm not saying he's alive, I'm not saying he's alive, but damn if he's dead, then there should be some answers or something. Somebody should know something, and it's been a while now. Anyway, how am I getting on Pac? And Nipsey made this whole different movement. Even his lyrics and his music was something to think about. It was different. Yeah, it still had a gangster vibe to it, but it was different. And that's what made this whole thing unique. He was out here, he owned businesses, real estate. And he's teaching these young minority men how to get this, how to achieve and do the same thing out of the same struggles that he had been in. So it makes me also think, is this something that the system would want to stop and would want, that the system wouldn't want nothing like that to happen. First of all. And it's like he was coming out with this documentary. Yeah, and I know now a whole bunch of blase was coming up about Lisa Leftow Lopez was doing the same thing and how she went to Dr. Sibby, however you say his name. I've heard it a million different ways. And yes, I've known about him for a long time. And people say, oh, now they want to bring up this, and this is all you really see on Facebook. But if you look into things like this and you do your research, you'll see things. You'll run across stuff like Dr. Sibby, so many other people that Gregory something. I don't remember. That old man's a gangster though. You can't mess with him. And this doctor that's trying to start a school. Oh my God. Jesus. I need to write this stuff down for real. I mean, I know these people, but I can't even think of their name. Usam. Anywho. But yeah, it makes you think about all this stuff. And it's crazy. So if would the system really want something like that to happen? I'm not one to say. I don't know. I mean, y'all tell me what you think, and then I might can reply on some of that. But it's very hard out here to. You know what? Fuck. This is my constitutional right, freedom of speech. Yeah, I honestly think the system done got my boy, bro. Honestly, that's my personal opinion. Personal opinion. Man, there may be other opinions out there. But, hey, I don't know. Maybe we'll talk to somebody later on that may have a different opinion. And, yes, I did promise you last episode we were going to talk to Young O. And this is honestly the perfect opportunity to sit down with a hip-hop artist who knows of some sort of some struggle of some something out of New York, Syracuse, by the way, that maybe have some different enlight or different insight. So, I mean, oh, that's my boy Young O, by the way. It just got me mind boggled about this whole situation, man. It's crazy. The dude was enlightening people. He was coming out with a documentary about how, I mean, and if anybody knows the Bible, and everybody might not read the Bible as to that point, but it does say that the herbs of the earth is for the healing of the nations. So any herb, not all herbs, but there are things that are from this earth that will heal you and can kill you, and that will heal you and can cure anything, basically. I mean, the creator didn't put it here for it just to be here. He put it here for you to grow and grow in intelligence and say, this is what this is for. This is what that is for. And you be in tune with him, the Father, being the creator, and Mother Earth being the nature. So, me personally, I don't like to take medicine. You know, my wife will say, Corey, you got a headache. You need to take a pill. Nah, I'm good. I just need to go lay down and relax. It'll go away. And if it gets to the point, I won't lie, if it gets to the point where I'm about to cry and get baby-like, then I will take one. My shoulder, when I was younger, I broke my collarbone, my clavicle. Being a young man, 21 years old, playing football, doctor prescribed me Percocet. And the first 1 or 2 days, first 1 or 2 days, well, the first day I came home from the hospital, of course I came from home from the hospital, and I was all doped up, and I was high as a kite. I went straight to sleep. I woke up in the middle of the night and I remember him being in so much pain, so much pain. I was like, I was screaming. And it hurt so bad that I don't know what was wrong with me. I was getting mad. My parents came in there and was like, Corey, you need to calm down, calm down, calm down, calm down. And I was like, it hurts, it hurts, it hurts. It's like unbearable hurting. I can't do this. So that was like, well, we got your medicine from the doctor. It says take two. So I took two perks. And 15, 20 minutes later, the pain was going away. 45 minutes later, nigga, I was knocked out again, bro. I was like, gone. And then I would start waking up to the point where it was hurting again. So I would want to take two more. Or I did take two more because of the pain. And then I got to the second day. I was doing the same thing. And I was like, I just can't sleep this whole time while I'm. They said this recovery is going to be 6 to 8 weeks. I cannot just sleep 6 to 8 weeks, man. I got to move. Like, I can't even pick my phone up. I can't do nothing. I'm so high. I'm sleeping all the time. I can't do nothing off of something the doctor prescribed me. So I said, you know what? This is the second day. I think it was my parents came home. I was laying in the bathtub. I had tried to shave because my girlfriend wanted to come and see me. My face had like little patches all over it where I thought I had shaved. I was shivering in the bathtub in nothing but steaming hot water like I was cold. I was tripping. I was tripping. I don't know what the heck was going on. And then I was like, I got to throw up. My stomach, I just got to throw up. So I started throwing up, throwing up, throwing up, throwing up, throwing up. And after I threw up, I tried to eat something. I don't remember what it was. But I laid on the couch. My girl came over. And she was like, I couldn't even do it. It was like 5-10 minutes late. She left again. Because it was like, I was just like a damn knot on a log. Like, I was just laying there like, And at that moment, I realized, I was like, I cannot be like this. This is on a whole nother, like, I can't do this. So, the next day, I had felt a little pain. It wasn't hurting too bad. It was okay. I didn't take no pills. I was like, all right, yep, this is cool. So, within that week of me getting surgery, I went on a run. And I kind of got my blood flowing. And I was like, yeah, this is nothing. This ain't bad. I'm good. Like, this, you know, of course I had it in a brace and all of that. And I was like, yeah, this is nothing. I'm good. But I didn't take no more pills because of the way it made me feel and how I got to the point where I thought I was in pain. I really wasn't in pain, but it made me want to go take the pills because I was in pain. I thought I was in pain, should I say, but that's not really how I felt. And it's just crazy. And then Nipsey was coming out with this whole Dr. Sebi, however you want to say his name. I've heard it a million different ways again. That he was doing a documentary on him. That's another reason for the pharmaceutical companies, personally, I believe, to say, ho, bro. You have too many people, too much going on. No, sir. You're going to cause a dent in our billion dollar company. That is not going to be good. And then that's going to hurt because people are going to see, they're taking something herbal instead of something chemical, which is the whole purpose. If your body was made from the dust of the earth, the clay of the earth, the earth, then why wouldn't there be something in the earth that would heal you versus something chemically, scientifically made? I don't know. I'm just saying. Curiosity. Hey, we call this I Call Bullshit for a reason. I mean, just saying. So it makes you think. And okay, before I can remember correctly, before it was illegal for pharmaceutical companies to basically advertise on television. I forget what year. I think it was like 1997, 1998, something like that. It was something like that. It was illegal for them to advertise on television because at that point, they automatically thought that the doctor should know what you should need and should prescribe it to you. Don't ask me where they got the brilliant idea of advertising this stuff on television. But at that point, pharmaceutical companies started becoming billions of dollars. Instead of millions a dollar a year company, it became billions. And I'm not talking about no itty-bitty change. I'm talking about billions upon billions. If I ain't mistaken, it's like $436 some billion they made last year. I don't know. I had to Google it again. But it was crazy. I said, what the heck? And where are these drugs at? They in the streets. They in the streets. Xannies, the perks, I don't know. All this stuff out here in the streets and these kids. And sometimes even the kid might be in a situation. And the doctor say, here, you got PTSD or you got anxiety or you got this or you got depression. Take this Xanax and make you feel better. And then these young men and women get addicted to this drug, all while not realizing really what that drug is doing to them. It's crazy. And the doctors give it to them. I met a young man, ex-military, and he had nightmares. He had nightmares. Like, and he would call me and talk to me about things. And don't ask me. He just told me he felt close to me and that I was one of the only people that he really could talk to me about things. He lost one of his best friends. He done the buddy something with, the buddy thing, whatever. When you go into the military with a friend. And it was his best friend from like a kid, and he just has nightmares and he cries and he wait. This grown dude was crying in front of me, and I could see to the point we would just be hanging out, and his medicine would start wearing off, and he'd start tripping. He'd start, and I'd be like, "You good, man?" He's like, "Yeah, I hadn't taken my medicine today or this, that, and the other." And legit dude, good dude. And I'm like, "You good, man?" He was like, yeah. He was like, "Babe, can you bring me some of my medicine?" And I'm sitting here thinking like, bro, if like there's something better for you than that, man. It's got to be. Like, you can't be dependent. And it's bad to say, and it's hard to say, because a lot of people, and myself, maybe even I, are dependent on certain things. But when your body gets to the point, or your feelings, emotions, and everything else gets to the point where you're dependent on that thing, it might be an issue. So, I mean, I don't know. And then the pharmaceutical companies now making billions of dollars off these people like him, people that honestly have certain true problems and they really need some type of help, not necessarily something chemically that's going to keep them addicted and cause all type of problems, liver issues. You ever heard what these people be saying reading fast when you listen to a medicine commercial? Can you hear what they saying? You may have a heart attack. You may have bowel movements. You may have slight vision. You may vision vomiting. All this, like, I don't know what they be, but they be reading it fast and you be like, hold on, what did you say? Yeah, it's just, man, it's crazy. It's crazy out here in this world that it's crazy out here in this world that there are certain people or entities or not entities, that's wrong terminology, certain people or certain groups that don't want a young minority male at that to succeed. And this is a situation I truly, truly, it's got me mind boggling. I don't know if I want to, and not to mention, crazy thought I had was, who's to say now they got a killer. This is the person that killed Nipsey. Of course, now that he got killed and all this stuff's coming out that he's doing this documentary, the movements that he was making, all this stuff. Oh, now we got a killer. Yeah, he killed him. Because they know that people are going to ask, if you don't have a killer, then who killed him? And they're going to think all kind of stuff. So, who's to say, just crazy thought I had, that there's somebody out there or some group or something out there that didn't want this guy alive because he was making too much noise and making a too much of a big of a movement in the hood and the real estate company making moves business-wise, smart business moves. Making people, basically making people enlightened to things that everyday people shouldn't know or would want to know. Or I honestly don't know. Like, it's just crazy. Like, he was doing a documentary on Dr. Sebi. He was teaching, he was bringing the hood and law enforcement together in LA. So it makes you think, if they didn't go to a killer or the pharmaceutical company or somebody or something. I'm saying pharmaceutical company, big pharma, whoever. I'm saying somebody, something, somewhere went to him, said he's doing too much. Y'all got to do something with him. So they go to somebody and say, hey, man, you can get close to him. You want to pull an NFL contract for us? And he's going to look at him like, what you mean? And they're going to look at him, you got to pull 10 to 15, but we're going to give $36 million. And we'll put you in a good area of the prison. You can even go out and do community service, pick up trash off the road. We'll take you somewhere far away where they won't nobody know you. You do your 10, 15, and when you get out, you'll have a bank account set up with $36 million sitting in it. And they're going to say, what? I got to do what? Say no more, bro. I'm not saying that's what happened. I'm just saying that could be a possibility. Just saying. I don't know. That's why I call a lot of bullshit. It's something to think about, basically. Anywho, yo, when we get back, I'm going to call one of them. Matter of fact, we got an interview with Young O coming up. And of course, he's a hip hop artist, and this probably has touched him as well. So I'm definitely going to talk to him about it. But I think he might be a slight expert on some stuff like this. I think we're going to give him a ring and see what he's got to say about all this bullshit. It's your boy Native. And when we get back,